case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Yep, reminder about daylight savings time. You got to set the clock ahead tomorrow. Wait, spring forward, fall back. You set it back. It's not getting away from the, because if three goes into four. At this time, Monday, it'll be 8:10. Yeah, if that makes any sense to you. All right, Dave, thank you. Have a great weekend. Ian McNulty joins us now. It's time to talk some eating and drinking. He covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Y'all got any questions about where to eat, where to drink? 504-260-1870. That's Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line. I'll pass it along to Ian as we proceed through the conversation. How you doing, Ian McNulty? Where you been eating and drinking?
Oh, Tommy, doing great. Good to hear your voice there. I'm just polishing off a breakfast sandwich here with a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup with Kit Kats as the bread.
There you go.
With some twist gummy bears on the side. Little leftovers lounge going on over here after Halloween.
Did you have a good Halloween?
It was a grand one. Yeah, it was a grand one. I live in Mid-City, and I live in this particular block that the kids have staked out, it seems, for generations now. Way, way, way more kids show up than live anywhere in the radius around us, and it's wonderful. I love it. The neighbors get into it. We got music rocking, lights going, adults in costumes encouraging the kids, and It's a really good scene. I'm glad it happens every year, and it still happened last night despite the early rain. They must have been holed up in their little hobbit holes waiting to emerge, and then all sorts of Harry Potter wizards and Transformers and X-Men came swarming out, and we did our level best to ruin their diets, at least for the day. So it good time was had by all.
Did you costume or not?
Oh, yes, of course.
As?
I was a caveman.
Okay.
And so sort of a picture of tunic made of various furs of, you know, largely extinct and sometimes fictional animals mm-hmm. from the prehistoric past, and more hair than I'm normally sporting. More hair than I've sported since I was a head-banging metalhead back in middle school days. Okay. So that was the look.
All right. Tell me where you've been eating, where you've been drinking.
All right. It's been a really interesting week for food, my friend, since last we spoke. Oh, actually, we've had 2 weeks off. I missed mm-hmm. you last week. I was on the road.
Yeah.
But the New Orleans food scene did not stop. And actually, there were two really interesting two food festivals with interesting results in the past week. Top Taco in Metairie, which is a taco contest and festival where people wander around, try all the different tacos from these various vendors and vote on them, and judges do the same. And then Po' Boy Fest on Oak Street, that was on Sunday, which follows the same format. Lots of vendors, lots of people, and then judges voting on the best ones. And the same spot won the grand champion of both places. And I'm leading with this on today's chat because I think it's really noteworthy. Both the taco competition and the Po' Boy competition were won, swept, you might say, by a small barbecue place in Luling on the West Bank that's only open 2 days a week. It's called Gonzo's Barbecue. And Gonzo is a man named Jason Gonzalez, who I've been following for a few years. He started as a pop-up and quickly transitioned into having a barbecue shop. But like I say, it's only open a couple days because he has a lot of catering. He's located just on River Road, just right before the bridge, you know, downriver from the bridge. You have to know it's there to know it's there. But believe me, people know it's there. It's the kind of place where you have to, you know, you're best advised to pre-order, and then you queue up and you can get your order of your barbecue. You make specialty boudin sandwiches, that kind of thing. On Thursdays, it's burgers. On Fridays, it's the barbecue, the main act. But he went a little out of his realm to do tacos and po' boys and swept. So the judges were unanimous at two different events. Wow. So it was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Would there be a way to describe the barbecue that he makes? Is it like Carolina or Memphis or Texas?
Texas. What? It's definitely Central Texas style, the kind of barbecue you're getting around Austin. Mm-hmm. Famous for the brisket around that area, and Gonzo's is also. He does wonderful things with burnt ends, which are the bits at the end of the brisket that get extra smoky, extra fatty. He does pork burnt ends that follow the same kind of thing. And like I said, specialty boudin. So boudin often made with brisket sometimes, or with pork jowl. So sort of extra fatty, that means extra tasty, extra good. So it's a really interesting spot, and it's worth an outing. And it's a real gem for that part of the West Bank in particular. And kudos to Gonzo for sweeping those award categories. And another one that did really well at both events is Southern's, a place you and I have talked about. Again, started as a pop-up and just opened a restaurant in Metairie on Vets near Clearview just over the summer. And Southern's is known for their fried chicken sandwiches, but they color outside the lines for these festivals and do some really good po' boys and tacos. And if you go to Southern's, you got to get the crackling. That's something that that listeners ask us about quite often. So that's a real good spot for crackling these days. It's new on Vets and Metairie, Southern's. So great to see those guys doing well at the festivals.
How you spelling that?
Southern's, as in the South, someone from the South, Southern.
And where is it?
It's on Vets in Metairie.
I was looking it up. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, Southern's.
Huh.
If you type into the internet machine Southern's McNulty NOLA.com, you'll get a story popping up with all kinds of photos and background.
By gosh, I'm looking at it right now. It looks delicious.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. The computer machine.
If you want to find it, put my name at NOLA.com and what you're interested in, and it's going to pop up.
Okay.
I've learned that myself.
All right, what else you been eating?
Well, it's been a busy week of restaurant news. Let me catch you up on a couple of things. One I think will be of particular interest is the restaurant Bon Ton. You ever been to Bon Ton?
Have not heard a lot about it.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have because it's been around for a long, long time. Been around since 1877. And for this particular story, we got to rewind to the halcyon days of early March 2020. When COVID, we had heard about it, but it was somebody else's problem. Not for long, of course. But before COVID had really materialized around here, Bon Ton closed. The longtime owners, the Pierce family, Wayne and Debbie, decided to hang it up, retire. And they said they were selling the business. It wasn't quite a done deal yet, but that was it. They were retiring just the same. And one way or the other, they were closing the doors. And there was a big mournful goodbye. Cheerful but mournful at the same time, as these things are when you recognize a place has to close, has to change, but you wish them well, but you're going to miss them. And that's the kind of place Bon Ton was. I mean, it was kind of the restaurant that introduced generations of people in New Orleans to Cajun food, actually. The proprietors, their generation before them, had taken over this old restaurant. Again, it's been around since 1877. But the Pierce family took it over in the 1950s and introduced recipes from the region they were from, which was around Houma, down in the Bayou region, down Bayou Lafourche, Bobby Hebert territory, and introduced crawfish dishes. And, this sounds like what everyone's looking for now, but it was highly unusual back then. And think about it, a generation before Paul Prudhomme came around, Bon Ton was serving Cajun dishes, serving etouffee and crawfish bisque, and it was a real unique place. And through the years, it became sort of a time capsule. I mean, you'd walk in there as of early 2020, and it was waitresses in these sort of matronly white dresses and white sneakers, looking like nurses from a hospital from the 60s. There was no computer system. Everything was transmitted to the kitchen by handwritten on order pads. And they didn't open on the weekends because back in the old days, the CBD was dead on the weekends. So why do any business down there? That was back when office buildings outnumbered hotels, not vice versa. So it was a real pleasing time warp with really good food. And it was sad to see them go. But that was pretty much the last anybody heard of it, was March 2020. Then COVID happens, everything gets upended. But lo and behold, behind the scenes, a new buyer had come in, had bought it from the Pierces with all intentions of reopening, had to put that on hold during COVID, start turning the wheels on it. Just about to open this time last year when a fire struck. A fire broke out overnight. No one was hurt, thank goodness. But it set them back the entire renovation. They had to start from scratch. But here we are a year after that travesty, and they are weeks away from reopening. So there's a story on NOLA.com right now, or you can look up Bonton McNulty, NOLA.com, like what I've been coaching, and it'll just come up.
That's on the computer machine, Instagram. Right?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. At Ian McNulty NOLA on Instagram is another good way to find stuff like this. So it's going to reopen as a new restaurant, Tommy, called Bonton Prime Rib. Mm. That's the name of the restaurant, and Prime Rib is naturally the specialty. They're bringing back some of the dishes from the Bonton days, some dishes inspired by the Bonton days, but as the man who's opening it told me, this is not your father's Bonton nor your great-great-grandfather's Bonton, because that's how far back the Bonton name goes. It'll be a new restaurant channeling some of the past and bringing back a grand old restaurant space. Now, here's the interesting twist. The owner is a man named Jerry Greenbaum. And he also owns the Chop House, which is a steakhouse just across the street on Magazine Street in the CBD. It's where Cuvée used to be. Right. It's by the the Board of Trade building. And that is a really good standout steakhouse. It's part of a restaurant group that Jerry co-founded that has about a dozen restaurants around the Southeast. I don't call it a chain, really. You know, it's not like Applebee's or something like that. It's more akin to, like, Houston's, you know. Like, there's a number of units. They're good operations. They're a little more high-end. They're in different cities, but they're, you know, held together by not even necessarily the same names, but the same kind of operating principles and same owners and operators. And so Chop House is the one in New Orleans and now soon to be Bonton Prime Rib. And I had a glance at the menu. The full menu is online on my story, and I'm really excited about it. If you're a Prime Rib fan, and I know sometimes listeners do call in with that request, This is going to be your place. Now, I've not tried it, mind you, but talking to the operators and seeing the emphasis they're putting on the menu, it's really going to be the key to this place. I mean, it's written into the name, Bonton Prime Rib, so that's interesting. And they're going to serve a prime rib. That's not a typo. That is a prime rib cut from prime beef. And they're, like I said, they're really making a focal point of the place. So great to see that place coming back. I think that's going to be a good thing for downtown New Orleans. And I think it's going to be an interesting new addition with some old-fashioned Cajun dishes with a new look and a lot of beef.
Somebody texted in, and this is not a bad question, about the difference between prime rib and ribeye.
Ah, yes. Okay, so your ribeye, they're coming from the same place, but a prime rib is, you got a picture.
You mean the same restaurant or the same place on a cow?
The same general vicinity on a cow.
Okay.
They're both coming off the rib section. The ribeye is that very end of the rib. Prime rib is, you're getting the whole rib bone in there. This is a massive cut. It's if a restaurant is serving prime rib, these are not individually cut steaks like you might get somewhere else. This is this massive sort of brontosaurus-sized cut. I'm back in caveman costume mode here, Tommy. But this giant brontosaurus-shaped cut that they're roasting at once and then cutting into individual portions. And that's why you often see it as a special, because it's or the restaurant has to be heavily specialized around it, because it's the kind of thing where you don't just keep them on hand and like kind of cook one to order. You don't just cook, oh, I'm going to cook a prime rib. You know, you're cooking the prime rib and you're cutting it into orders. And so
the preparation is different. A steak you're grilling, and I got a question about a grilling steak in a minute, but the steak you're individually grilling, the prime rib, you're cooking this huge piece of beef in a different manner, right?
You're roasting it, yeah.
Roasting,
that's right.
Yeah, okay. All right, there you go. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Somebody's looking for a steak that's cooked on a grill, not in a pan or not in butter, whatever that means. Somebody else looking for the best laid-back combination seafood restaurant market. Somebody else asking about oysters. Somebody wants to know about a Cuban sandwich on the West Bank. Somebody else wants to know about the Redbird Chicken in Lakeview. So a lot of questions coming in for Ian McNulty. You can join yours in the queue if you like at 504-260-1870. It's the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Tommy Tucker, I'll pass him along. We come back on WWL. 9:30 Friday morning. That's when we talk to Ian McNulty. He covers food and dining for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, New Orleans Advocate. He just covers it for anybody. You want to know about food, call him. He'll let you know. Somebody wants to know where they can go to have a heated debate about the presidential race. Just kidding. Somebody is looking for a combination seafood market restaurant, the best laid-back place.
Okay, well, Porgy's is the is your go-to. This is a newer place. It's in Mid-City. It's on the same block as Angelo Bricado's. It used to be it used to be Bevy Seafood before this, but Porgy's is exactly that. It's a seafood market where you walk in and there's a case that's filled with, yeah, they got shrimp, they got crabs, they got oysters. But what I'm really excited about is they have fish, okay? And I'm not saying this facetiously. You go into a lot of seafood markets around South Louisiana, for crying out loud, and it's a lot of shrimp, some crawfish in season, and then maybe some catfish, maybe some drums. If you're lucky, a piece of grouper. At Porgy's, you go in there, and there's probably, 8 to 10 different cuts of fin fish. We're talking about yellowfin tuna, pompano, whatever they're catching, different types of snappers, flounder, it's swordfish sometimes. It's great. It's what I remember seafood markets being a generation ago, but it's also fused to a restaurant. So it's sort of like a seafood market with a seafood deli, like going to the butcher shop that happens to make sandwiches. The best the best sandwiches you're going to get is out of a butcher shop. So this is the same idea, but for seafood. And so you can, there's a little bar, there's a couple tables out there. They have drinks. You can get, and then, get stuff for home. Get a clutch of oysters to shuck over the kitchen sink. Get some fish. You can make your own ceviche back home or toss some of that tuna on the grill. Porgy's is exactly what you're looking for.
All right. Somebody else looking for a steak that's made on a grill like a barbecue pit as opposed to being cooked in a pan.
Yeah, I think I know what they're looking for. I mean, the classic New Orleans steak that arrives sizzling in butter. They're going to be grilled, but they're coming to you on that hot plate, jumping with butter. You want more of the taste of the grill, right? I think that's what the listeners are asking for, a little bit of that char. Your Latin American steakhouses are superb for this. So La Boca or Brasa would be the ones. La Boca is down the Warehouse District. Brasa is on Metairie Road in Old Metairie, or they have a new, much more upscale place in Canal Place, where the old Morton's Steakhouse used to be, mm-hmm. in the Canal Place Mall downtown on Canal Street. And both these places, similar style. It's that South American way with steak, where they're cooking it a little slower, a little more slow and low over the grill. And it picks up a lot more of the flavor from the actual, what they're cooking it over, from the wood or the charcoal, and really interesting cuts too. Not just your ribeyes or your fillets. It's you want to ask the waiter a little bit about each cut of steak to get what you want. Really flavorful, and I love the way they serve them with like chimichurris on the side, these little kind of garlicky parsley, almost like a pesto kind of thing on the side. Just fantastic. I love a steak that way.
Somebody's looking for a Cuban sandwich on the West Bank.
Yeah, I was thinking about this on the break, Tommy, and really the only thing I'm coming up with is one spot, but it's an interesting one for sure. It's called Cafe Cubano, mm-hmm. or Cafe Cuba, excuse me, Cafe Cuba. And it's part of it's part of a flea market in Harvey. It's called the West Bank Flea Market. It's just off the West Bank Expressway. It's pretty well hidden. You have to know it's there. It's just before the Harvey Canal. If you're heading towards the Harvey Canal, well, heading towards the Harvey Canal either way. If you're heading towards Marrero, it's just before the Harvey Canal, and it's an old self-storage complex where they've turned these sheds and units into individual restaurants, food stands, stalls, walk-up windows, real down-home mom-and-pop kind of operations, and mostly Latin American. There's a few other things thrown in there here and there. But there's Dominican food, there's a lot of Honduran food, Salvadoran food, Mexican food, and this Cafe Cubo where you can get a Cuban sandwich there. And it's a really interesting visit, too. I mean, it's a different slice of life over there, but it's legit. It's all authentic.
Somebody's looking for raw oysters. They like to eat raw oysters, but it's not cold, and they don't know if it's good time to get a sack of them or box them, however you buy them. I think they sell them in a sack or not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, you can get them about the sack. And this is getting into the prime time. I mean, you can eat them all year round, of course, but they are better as it gets a little colder, as summer turns into fall, and here we are November 1st. So yeah, it's coming around to prime Louisiana, the traditional reef harvested oyster time. This goes back to the seafood market, right? Like any self-respecting seafood market should have sacks of oysters available. So, call the one that's near you, see if they do. But the reliable ones for me, I'm going to mention Porgy's again, just because they're rocking it. They do regular oysters, and they do the newer kind, the kind that you and I have talked about, mm-hmm. the cultivated sort that are a little more expensive, but they're cleaner, they're smaller, they're more intense. They taste a lot like the oysters that you had on vacation up on the East Coast or and the Pacific Northwest, but they're actually grown off of Grand Isle or grown down the Gulf Coast in near Mobile. They're local oysters that are just grown a different way. American Seafood is another great resource. They're in Gentilly, and it's mainly a distributor to restaurants. But during COVID, one of their flexes that they kept since is they set up a little market outside. So you pull up, and there's a warehouse where, busy doing seafood distributor things with trucks and hand carts and everything else. But right up front, almost like a lemonade stand underneath a tailgating pop-up tent, they set up a seafood stand with all kinds of fish on display, shellfish and oysters. And when I'm having a party and I need to get a sack of oysters to shuck 100 or so on the back deck, that's where I'm going for good old-fashioned St. Bernard Parish Reef Rock old-fashioned oysters.
And I got to shout out my guy Sal at Salvo's in Belchase. Great place as well if you want to eat there or take it out. I was watching a thing where they were interviewing a national oyster shucker, and they were going to teach the young lady that was a reporter how to shuck an oyster. And I thought, man, I hope they got Band-Aids or something, because she didn't have the chain glove on or anything like that. It was just a rubber glove. Thankfully, everything turned out okay, because that's a good way to wind up the emergency room. Somebody wants to know about the best egg rolls that rival the old House of Lee egg rolls.
I'm thinking of Chinese Kitchen on Carrollton Avenue over by just past Costco, because, yes, that's one of our landmarks now, just past Xavier University. Near Five Happiness. Chinese Kitchen is that classic strip mall Chinese restaurant joint. But they're making an egg roll that's bigger than your cell phone. It's that the people will, this is the egg roll of yore. This is a, classic Americana 1970s egg roll. Everything there, big portions, usually a line out the door.
That's always one of my favorite Christmas songs, the egg roll of yore. What about Redbird Chicken in Lakeview? Did it close down? Somebody wants to know.
It did, yes. They closed that location. Redbird has a few locations. There's one in Covington. There's one in the West Bank. There's one up in Denham Springs. And they're in expansion mode, so those guys are growing. But they decided to close that one on Harrison, we're talking about, in Lakeview, because they're really looking for locations now to grow that have drive-through windows, because that's working out real well for them in other locations. But that location is set to become a new location of Desi Vega's Prime Burgers and Steaks. Shakes, not Steaks. Burgers and Shakes. Desi Vega's and Steaks at his other restaurants. Mm-hmm. So that will be a burger and shake place pretty soon. That must be fixing to open very soon if it hasn't just snuck itself open right now under our noses as we're talking about it. I'm going to look that up when we get off the phone. But Redbird is still very much going, just not in Lakeview, and that's good chicken, too. They were a past Fried Chicken Fest winner, in fact.
And somebody's looking for a couple of recommendations in Lakeview as we close it out.
Yeah, sure. Junior's on Harrison. I call it the new modern neighborhood restaurant. It's not your Mandina's or your Liuza's, but it serves kind of the same role with a more diverse menu and a great bar. Francesca's by Katie's. You know, Katie's restaurant in Mid-City. Francesca's is down the street. That's terrific. The Backyard, great burgers, great old-fashioned, Tommy. I know you like those.
There you go.
And while we're talking about steaks, you know, it's going to be the Steak Knife. Old-fashioned place, been around for 50 years.
And Tim's selling me Outpost 45.
Outpost 45, great for drinks, good scene. It's right next door. It's a Steak Knife. Steak Knife, one of the best martinis I've had in ages, served at that bar.
Thank you, Ian McNulty. Have a great weekend. We'll take a break. Come back. WWL 941 Traffic Now. All right, here we go. Big weekend of college and NFL action. 9:45, quarter till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL, here to give you all the winners with Taking Vegas. My boy, JR. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing outstanding, Tommy. Appreciate you having me on. Happy Football Friday.
Happy Football Friday to you, my friend. An exciting season so far, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even begin to tell you how great it's been. I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, look, guys, it's all about one thing and one thing alone, making sure that you've got great, and I mean great information, experts in your corner, and more importantly, being capable of managing your bankroll to show you how to really make the most out of being able to make money every week betting on these games. It's hard on your own. Don't shoot from the hip. Have somebody in your corner that actually knows what they're doing with real strategy. Now, I'm going to start you off with an absolute blowout winner this week. Okay, I've got an underdog that's going to win outright, and I've labeled it my underdog college football game of the year. It will win outright. It is absolutely free right now. All you got to do is actually text the word win. Text win to 545454, and you're going to get my underdog absolutely free via text message. All you got to do, text the word win to 545454 to get this college football underdog game of the year absolutely free via text message. Again, text win to 545454.
You said shoot from the hip. You don't want to shoot from the heart either, do you?
No, you can't. I mean, guys that are in New Orleans who are always betting LSU or the Saints, I mean, first 2 weeks of the season, the Saints worked out for you, but tell me how it's worked out since. It's been rough. You can't do that. Here's the one thing I heard a long time ago. One of the big names on radio used to say, bet against your own team so that if they win, yay, your team won. But if they lose, hey, you made a little something on it. Mm. I'm not a fan of that. Mm. I'm more of a fan of looking for the best in what I call the best situation to take your money and pounce on it. And you got to be careful. You got to make sure the percentage of your bankroll that you're putting into play is always in favor, or I should say, is always going to be in relation to the game that you're betting or the amount of games that you're betting. You don't ever want to put 50% of your bankroll on a single game because you love it. You got to be smart. The idea is to try to bet less than 5% of your overall bankroll on any one individual game. Now, of course, that means it comes down to the size of your bankroll, right? You don't want to be betting, you know, $2 on a game if your bankroll is only $50. You got to be careful. You got to know what you're doing. And there are aggressive ways to do this and still have conservative backstops in place. What I mean by that is knowing when to pull it back, when to take 35 or 33% off the top and make sure that you're not going to put yourself in harm's way. Or if you take a loss, to cut your bet by up to 50%, just like when you're winning, not doubling up, but maybe adding 20 to 50% on that, not even the next game, but the next group of games that you're going to bet. There's so much that goes into it, Tommy. It's hard to do in a 5-minute interview.
And the other thing, JR, is it's not always about who wins or loses a game. There are bets within a game. I'm not talking about crazy prop bets. I'm talking about totals, et cetera.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look at last night. I mean, if you didn't hop on your computer by the end of the first quarter in the Thursday night football game and bet the under, you're crazy. I mean, you could see where that game was going. They were having a ton of trouble. Both teams, offensively, C.J. Stroud looked awful. And it's hard for me to say that because I love the kid. He's one of my favorite new players in the league. I loved him for Rookie of the Year last year. And You know, he couldn't get out of his own way last night, and that's what happens when you get hit and sacked eight times in a game. You're going to get rattled. And then Aaron Rodgers, especially in the first half of that game, missing throws to the weak side. You know, it was just a recipe for an under, and I thought it was easy money, and we were able to give that out. We liked it before the game and loved it by the end of the first quarter.
I'm not going to hold you anything. I'm not asking you to predict anything, but the Super Bowl is here in New Orleans. It is 100 days from today. If you had to tell me some of the top contenders, who would you pick in the NFL right now?
Well, I mean, let's face it, you know that on the one side you got the Kansas City Chiefs, who are winning football games and undefeated with Patrick Mahomes leading the league in interceptions, with Baker Mayfield as well having 9 interceptions already this year. You know, see, you take a look at what they're doing, and to be able to put it together when, you know, the best player in football is not playing his best football tells me that, you know, that there's a reason that they are the favorite to win, and they're only plus 400 right now to be the team to come out on top when it's all said and done. Now, there are other teams I could think that can definitely give them a run for their money. I love the Detroit Lions, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you a team that's never even been to a Super Bowl and is one of the oldest teams in football is going to win the whole thing this year, especially with some of the injuries that they've taken on. And now, I mean, look, they're laying points on the road to Green Bay this week, which is absolutely crazy. But, you know, again, AFC, I like the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Ravens will be there at the end of all of this. And I think a surprise team, if Russell Wilson keeps playing the way that he is, and they grab an offensive wide receiver before the deadline here, the Steelers could also be a team in the AFC that you got to watch out for. In the NFC, you know, I think it's really up for grabs right now. There are too many teams that are just vying for spots for playoffs right now. You know, the Eagles, they are the one team. If they can keep it together and they can, you know, keep the coaching at a high level, I think that they're going to be the team, one of the teams that are going to end up in the NFC Championship game, along with the Lions, along with the Packers. But that's about it in the NFC. You know, of course, you got the Vikings too, but
Watch me jinx them, JR. Here we go, right? Kansas City, storyline, you look at it, the first team to go undefeated since the Miami Dolphins, but in the current NFL with, you know, a 17-game season, and win 3 Super Bowls in a row. There's your storyline. That being said, I know, right? You're on fire with your picks, the picks you hand out. Last week, the rain kind of did us in. Tell me what your free pick is this week.
Listen, the fact that not only we won 8 weeks in a row, but it took literally an act of nature to take us off the pedestal. I mean, to have all that rain in the first and half of the second quarter, and then still it started raining down points for us, and then all of a sudden we were 5 points from getting that over, and it starts pouring rain again with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So there was nothing we can do about it. Can't foresee that type of weather when I'm giving out a game on Friday. So take that into consideration, guys, when I'm giving you these games. You got to go back and you got to look at you know, the weather before you start putting in these games. Now, there's an easy one on the board this week. Joe Flacco coming in for the Indianapolis Colts because of the tap out by Anthony Richardson. Minnesota Vikings coming off a loss against a team that did get back some really good players and put up some real numbers on them. I think Minnesota not only bounces back, but one of the toughest places to play in the NFL, top 5 for sure, and the Colts are going to have trouble getting their play calls out there. Flacco, 17-year veteran in this game, think he's going to get cooked up. Look for the Minnesota Vikings not only to win, but easily cover in this matchup minus the 5.
All right, take us out, JR, with your underdog college game of the year.
Guys, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I should say. We get a lot of ladies these days as well. It's all about making money and showing what you got, and that's what we do over here. Call now, or actually, all you got to do is text. Text the word WIN to 545454. Get my underdog college football game of the year absolutely free via text message. Guys, this is not a one-point underdog. This is a dog that really should be the favorite, and you're going to get a real good return on your money for this one. So text the word WIN to 545454. Get this underdog college football game of the year absolutely free via text message. One more time, text the word WIN to 545454. As always, Tommy, a real pleasure. Love doing this interview every week, guys. Be safe, have fun, and go out there and make some money.
Thank you, JR.